Good morning, I'm Louis Sange, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Professor Sita Rocha. Sita is one of our professors here in the Communication Department. She teaches multimedia journalism, and she's also the director, head of BorderZine, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, plus some other exciting things that are happening in the world of multimedia journalism for our students. Sita, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis. It's great to be here.
So I mentioned BorderZine, and not too long ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, BorderZine celebrated 10 years.
That's right. It's unbelievable how quickly
it's
gone.
What is BorderZine if someone's not familiar with it?
Yeah, so it's a website that we run out of the Department of Communication, and we run it as a classroom newsroom so that every semester we have a class of 20, 21 students, multimedia journalism students, who are producing stories about border life and culture. And, they do it in a multimedia format, which means that they're doing video, they're doing audio, they're doing photography, and they're also writing stories. And because, as you know, some of our students have family or even live in Ciudad Juarez, we're actually having stories that are being done in both languages, English and Spanish, and about things going on both sides of the border. So it's a rather unique project.
And is BorderZine part of a class that they take, or is it journalism majors who just go down there and help out?
Yeah, no, it's actually the capstone class for our multimedia journalism major. And we started it, like we said, 10 years ago, and we started it when we began to realize that media was rapidly changing and was moving onto the web, and that we had to prepare our students to be journalists in multimedia formats. And so we've been around for 10 years now.
What's interesting is you and I have been involved in journalism for many years, and the fact that when we first started, it was newspaper and then radio and old-time radio, and then it went to television, and now it's a little bit of everything.
Exactly, and that's the key for the students, that they really have to know all those platforms in order to get a job once they graduate. And so what we're also doing as part of BorderZine is we're sending them out to internships all over the country, to newsrooms, places like the Dallas Morning News, places like Aldea in Philadelphia, in Dallas, to the Los Angeles Times, to television stations in Florida, in Dallas and other places. And we're really proud of the fact that one of our recent graduates, a young woman named Nicole Chavez, who graduated, I think, two, 3 years ago, went to work in journalism in Dallas and was just hired by CNN to be a journalist on their digital night desk. So that is pretty amazing. And another young man who also recent graduate within the last 5 years, he got a fellowship through the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, D.C., to go report on the immigrant crisis in Central America, El Salvador. So he's doing that this semester. So our kids, if they do internships, and most of them do, we tell them you got to do an internship in order to get a job, I think they're all doing well. We've had some who have moved into public relations as well, and nice public relations jobs all over the country. So we're having tremendous success in getting these students prepared and into the profession. We're really happy about that.
When I first met you, you were the national director for the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and that organization has been very involved with our students as well.
Yes, absolutely. And we have a student chapter of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. That's being led by one of our journalism professors, Dino Chiecki, who I know that you know. And yeah, we've been taking students to the NAHJ convention for the last, I don't know how many years. This last summer, we had four of them in Miami for the conference there. And it's a great opportunity for them, again, to grow professionally, to be able to develop relationships with Latino journalists already in the business who actually become mentors to them and help them get jobs.
We mentioned that BorderZine is now 10 years old, and there have been a lot of changes in media, in newsrooms, in BorderZine. But you have some exciting news to tell us about some of the plans coming up.
I do, absolutely. We've done a lot of different projects over the years, and we just received funding from the Online News Association, which is a actually it's an international organization. Borderzine won one of their journalism prizes for a big project that we did about 5 years ago called Mexodus. That looked at the movement of middle-class Mexicans and professionals to north of the border because of the drug war, and we won a prize from them. But the most recent news is that we were selected for one of their grants to do a project that's going to involve local media on both sides of the border, and it's going to also involve journalism students from UTEP, from EPCC, and from the Universidad Autónoma de Ciudad Juárez. And as part of that, the students are going to do multimedia storytelling. They're going to be doing podcasting. We're going to launch a podcast called My Border Life, where we're going to interview people from both sides of the border talking about what it's like to be a fronterizo, a borderlander. And we're also hoping to publish something on Borderzine about 100 questions and answers about the border region, something along the lines of the border for dummies, you know, to just explain the basics. This is who we are. And the whole idea for that project is to put a different face on the border for the public in general, something that goes beyond the stereotypes that we hear and see and read about all the time in media, you know, that we are dangerous, violent, that, you know, you can get killed walking down the streets of downtown El Paso, all things that, you know, the media tends to disseminate the bad, unfortunately. So what we want to do basically set the record straight about the fact that this is a vibrant border community of over 2 million people. We're a borderplex. People go to school here. They study. They work here. They raise their families here. They go to school here. And that, you know, we are like any other community in the United States, with the exception that we're on a border. And we're blessed by having by living in a place that is bilingual, bicultural, binational. Wow, what an amazing experience for anyone who lives here and who grows up here.
And as you mentioned, we want to set the record straight. We have discussed this in the past with other border issues, parachute journalism, where somebody will come in here, report on it, and then leave, and then they never see part two of the story or whatever. And because of that, there are so many people around the country that assume that the border area is, as you just described it, a very hard place to live.
Absolutely, Louis. And, you know, this last election, the midterms, there was such a focus on the border. And the border, the negative aspects of the border were front and center in terms of the national political debate, you know, about safe borders, about lack of security, about sending soldiers down here, about hordes of Central Americans, you know, pouring through and climbing fences. I mean, that was all the narrative that we heard in the media going up into the midterm elections. And, you know, it's also been part of the national dialogue now for quite a number of years in the presidential elections. Immigration is front and center. So, yeah, I think it's really important for people in both countries, actually, Mexico and the U.S., who don't know the border, have never been here, don't have family here, for them to really understand that we are a community, you know, like any other community. We do deal with immigration front and center, but we are, those of us who live here, have regular lives.
Tell me a little bit about your experience as a journalism professor, because it must be difficult, especially in this time age where it's hard to find objective journalism. Sometimes you have people who are on television and it's mostly their opinion, not any facts. And the fact that, you know, it's being labeled as fake news and people want to know what is real, what is not real. What do you tell your students?
Yeah, it's really hard. And you know, but we go back to the basic principles of good, solid journalism, that you have to be unbiased, that you have to do your best to be fair when you write stories, that you have to try to have balance and include both sides, and that you can't make stuff up, you know, and if something comes across, you know, your attention on social media, And you check it out. You don't just publish it, right? You don't spread it. You check it out to make sure it's true. So now more than ever, reporters are having to do, young people are having to do a lot of fact-checking for their stories to determine if the source of the information that they're getting and that they're quoting in their news stories, that it's a legitimate news source and that the information is accurate and factual. So it's a challenge.
When you and I were journalists, and I don't want to date us tremendously here, but we used a lot of knocking on doors, walking, making phone calls. And now it seems like perhaps some people said, well, perhaps the fact that it's too easy to Google something or find something on the internet makes it too easy to just go that route instead of checking out for yourself.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's where I think that we need to inculcate in young journalists that they have to get out into the community, that they have to walk the streets, that they have to talk to people. If they really want to find out what's going on, they can't just do it by, you know, being on social media and checking out websites, that they really have to get out into what the old-fashioned gumshoe reporting, right? And, you know, and I think a lot of news operations are coming back to the fact that the human factor and talking to people one-on-one is really the best way to get information about what's really going on in a community.
Absolutely. One of the other things that we want to talk about is because a lot of newsrooms are shutting down because of budgets, there's not enough money. But as you mentioned earlier, you receiving a grant, there's also another program about Newsmatch. Tell us
yes,
what that's about.
Thank you. That is really exciting for us because, well, a couple of things that I want to preface before I talk a little bit about Newsmatch. So the newsroom that, you know, we run in Cotton, which is the Border Zine newsroom, is about 5 or 6 years old. So, you know, we are having to modernize our computers and our software and whatnot. So gratefully and thankfully, the university just stepped up and is going to completely refurbish the lab with new computers, new Mac computers, and, you know, state-of-the-art software so that our students can continue to produce multimedia journalism. So we're very grateful to that for the university. It shows the university commitment, I think, to preparing these young people to be journalists with the right equipment and the right tools that they need. Coincidentally, we were accepted last year into a national organization called Institute for Nonprofit News. So we're now one of about 150 nonprofit newsrooms in the country who are reporting about communities and doing community journalism. So that was an incredible thing for us to be accepted. We're up there right alongside of Politico, the Texas Tribune, PolitiFact, you know, all of these local newsrooms that are doing nonprofit news. As part of that membership, they have a national news match fundraising campaign that they do at the end of the year every year. It runs November, December. So that means that for every dollar that we're able to raise from sponsors, from individuals who like what we do and want to support student journalism, they will match it by $1. Up to $25,000. So our goal is to raise ourselves between now and the end of the year, December 31st, to raise $25,000 that they will match with $25,000. And the important thing here is that that money is designated for the students to go out to do internships in newsrooms all across the country. Just like I said before that we've been doing, we want to ramp that up. We want to send more of them out. We want to send more of them to professional development conferences like NAHJ, like Online News Association, like Investigative Reporters and Editors Organization. They all have annual meetings, and we want to get our kids there because that's how they're going to get jobs.
And is there a website that they can go to find out more about donating?
Yes, there are two. There are actually two ways that people can donate to this campaign, the Newsmatch campaign. One is to go to Newsmatch, oneword.org, and then they can search for Border Zine, BORDERZINE. And then on that page, they can donate, or they can go directly to the Border Zine page, to the website, which is borderzine.com. And there's a donate button, and they can donate $5, you know, to $1,000 or more. And for individuals who donate up to $1,000, they will match the $1,000. So it's, and we've already gotten a couple of our alums actually who have given at that level. So we're nowhere near yet the $25,000 mark, but we've still got some weeks. And since classes are ending this week, those of us who run Border Zine and teach in the Border Zine newsroom, we'll have more time to do some outreach to people. And we're hoping that this show will motivate people to say, yeah, we want stories told about the border by the young people who live here, who work here, and who go to school here. And it's important for the rest of the world to hear those stories.
Well, Zita, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today.
No, thank you. It's been wonderful.
We've been visiting with Professor Zita Rocha. She is the director of Border Zine. And if you want to find out more about Border Zine and what they're doing, you can go to borderzine.com or newsmatch.org and then put in Border Zine, and you can find out more about this Newsmatch campaign. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Danny Gonzalez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.